Hello everyone, this is Tom Uren and I'm here with the Gruck for another Between Two Nerds discussion. G'day Gruck, how are you?
I am all good, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm good. Today's episode is brought to you by Trail of Bits, who do all sorts of interesting security research. I'd also like to thank the Cyber Initiative at the Hewlett Foundation for their support. So today, Gruck, we thought we'd start off with a quote from someone you know, and they were talking about a particular incident. So,
right. So
tell us, what is it?
Let me set the scene a bit. So the other day, the Ukrainians bombed a bridge in Crimea. They sent two of their sort of unmanned nautical explodey boat things. But what was interesting is when they released the video of it, they had actually hacked the CCTV on the bridge. And they had this video that showed these attack, what is it, the unmanned nautical vehicle, unmanned boat.
They could be unmanned aquatic vehicles, and that would just make them UAVs again.
Yeah, let's go with that. So we had the CCTV that showed these unmanned exploding boat vehicle things, or aquatic UAVs. And you could see them coming in and blowing up from the CCTV. And then that was released to sort of partially to sort of exploit what they'd done with this information angle. And so a friend of mine, Jack MacDonald, a professor at King's College London, sent me a very astute insight. So I'll just read that now. So he goes, I feel like cyber CCTV is the unwanted stepchild of everyone wanting neat theories about cyber in war. So, not destructive enough for the cyber war is coming lot. Not spooky enough for the cyber is subversion 2.0 lot. And too obviously useful for the cyber changes nothing lot. So I thought that was quite interesting because, you know, we've obviously seen CCTV hacking before. I mean, in the movies, if nowhere else.
Well, I think in the movies and elsewhere.
And a lot of other places, yes. And it's used in a lot of different ways, right? So
I think, interestingly, the movies, or at least the movies I'm aware of, it's used as a kind of surveillance technique, mm-hmm. right? So I think it was Enemy of the State, right?
You've got
a character running around and the bad people chasing him. I think it was Will Smith, right? Was it Will Smith? But anyway,
it was a him and a her.
They have the ability to just tap into every surveillance camera everywhere. And then the other example I can think of is kind of the deception one, which is from Speed, where they manipulate the CCTV so that they're not discovered. And so it's kind of the flip side of that. But in fact, like this example that you've just talked about with the bridge, that's neither of those.
Right. Actually, in a way, maybe the one that this is most similar to was, I believe it was a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, there was a bomb in a Jerusalem bus stop. And as part of the exploitation of that attack, a group had hacked one of those traffic monitoring CCTVs. And it happened to have a sort of visual thing on the bus station. So they were able to release a video of this bomb attack. And that was part of their exploitation. And I thought it was quite innovative at the time. You know, if you can't put someone with a camcorder or a phone sort of staring at where the attack is going to take place, just take an existing environmental camera and do that instead. So that was quite interesting. But it's not just for surveillance or the information influence value of what you see. So the Russians were using the IPTV camera things at like coffee shops and so on that were near train stations in Ukraine. And they were using that for strategic info on monitoring the NATO aid that was coming to the country. These other ones are a bit more tactical, but that's a very strategic intelligence sort of use case. Like I could see NSA doing exactly that sort of operation.
Well, the example I was thinking of, I believe it was the Dutch. The story is that they accessed surveillance cameras to out one of the Russian APT groups. Was it Cozy Bear? I think.
Yes, it was. They had the inside their offices, they'd hacked the CCTV. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that is, I mean, if you could do that, you would do it, right? From an intelligence agency point of view. And then it's interesting in that there's the, well, you know, we get pattern of life, we get individuals, but ultimately it was used in this kind of big picture way as in an indictment, right? Was it an indictment? I think it was.
Yeah, I don't know if it was an indictment, but they released an information packet, including
those things. Yeah, so in a way that is sort of similar to the bridge example, like they're using, unfortunately, I guess, I think it would have been a lot more impactful if they'd actually released the video.
particularly if they could get things of like people picking their nose when they think no one's looking at their desk. So that's sort of one thing. And I guess the counterexample is the Israelis turning off CCTV to prevent being surveilled. So I think it was in 2013, maybe, in Tunisia, there was an assassination of someone. And sort of like 30 minutes before it happened, all of the CCTV in a 4-block radius went out. And an hour afterwards, they came back on again, you know.
Well, the other example I like is the Evin prison one in Iran, where that was super sophisticated in that they were recording the CCTV of the control room, and then they were manipulating the CCTV appearing on the monitors in the control room. So you have they have to control it at a couple of different levels in order to then tell this story about what's going on at the prison.
Do you think they have a producer and a director, you know, at that point where... Like it's not just an intelligence operation. There's an actual sort of visual story that has to be done, where they storyboarded it out. They've sort of plotted some sort of key beats and themes.
I think they must have had people in that role. Yeah, I doubt they called them that, but like you that requires some orchestration,
right?
I mean, it was recorded live, so they must have had pieces in place ready to go.
Right,
you know, action. Let's go.
right. And, you know, and they would have had to have tested it as well to make sure it's going to, you know, you don't want to be there ready to go. And then it turns out that someone forgot to put a semicolon in the right place in the script and it doesn't play the right thing instead, you know.
Yeah. So I think it's not surprising at all, really, that the examples that we can remember, that the ones that are most striking are the ones that have that kind of visual element. And I guess there's also the predatory sparrow, where they dumped molten steel all over the floor.
Right. But that had a multifold purpose as well, right? So it wasn't just to show we've done this, but it was to show that we've done this in a safe way, that we waited until everyone had left, right? So it was part of a sort of whole thing with multiple layers going on, which is itself quite interesting. And here, CCTV is sort of being used very much in a cinematographic way, like you're capturing
hearts and minds.
Yeah, you can tell there's a visual story, right? Yes. You can reach people with this, you know, this video. That's what you're doing. And what sort of fits with that as well is last year when the Ukrainian hacktivist group, the IT Cyber Army or one of their affiliates, when they hacked all of those like IPTVs and coffee shops and offices and stuff like that in Moscow and St. Petersburg and wherever. And then on the Ukrainian National Day, they recorded people and then they used the speaker on these devices to play the Ukrainian national anthem and sort of, again, is telling the story.
I find it quite ironic that people really have a difficulty in portraying cyber, like in print media or on TV, you know, it's typically hoodies and green computer screens.
Yes.
And the Hewlett Foundation actually ran a competition to come up with cyber imagery. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to say that I didn't win, but I think it's ironic that we can come up with so many examples where it's been used to create visual, I guess they're like visual aids to go with a campaign. An influence campaign?
Yeah, well, like they're narratives and stuff. It's, I mean, they're not necessarily complete narratives, but they're absolutely, you know, visual storytelling. They're trying to, you know, create a picture. So I think this is certainly one usage, right, where you can use CCTV to sort of exploit something that you've done, right? So you have poured molten steel all over a crucible or whatever it is, right? But that in itself sort of only gets you so far. You need to go further and exploit that by showing what you've done and how you did it responsibly and how you have, you know, the power of life and death, and you can reach out and do whatever and even record it and so on. Same with the humorous thing with the that, not that there's much funny about, you know, prisons and jails, but that was a very amusing, you know, it made these torturers look like idiots and buffoons, which was quite clever the way it was done. So I think there's this approach, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it is a surveillance technology and it can be used in and of itself for surveillance stuff. So, you know, the example of the Russians doing strategic intelligence, I've heard of terrorist groups who have used it for seeing where their rockets land.
Right.
So if you're shooting rockets off and they're sort of, I don't know, a line of sight, and you kind of point it in the right direction and see what happens, you want to know if you hit anything. And so you can gain access to a bunch of CCTV cameras in the general vicinity, and maybe you can figure out.
I wonder if that's really hacking, though, or is that just using Showdown or something like that? I guess that's beside the point.
Right. So from my perspective, the mechanism by which it's done doesn't diminish the hacking side of it, because you're using cyber to achieve a goal, even if it's not clever and cool the way that you're doing it.
Yeah.
But it's almost certainly just Showdown.
Right. So it seems like there could well be a lot of surveillance using those cameras going on because people just don't talk about it. Whereas the point of of capturing, replaying the videos is to amplify it, and it seems like it works. So that, I guess, doesn't fit in the traditional.
Right. It doesn't play to any of the narratives that people like, right? It's not a cyber Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. It's not, this is not end of days stuff, not necessarily scary. But it is something, so it doesn't really work for people who are like, this is just, you know, it's intelligence work. We've always had intelligence work, or this is just, you know, information operations. We've been doing information operations in Thucydides. This is nothing. And it's something, right? It's something new. But it also, like, it doesn't fit neatly into anything, right? It doesn't have that destructive aspect. It doesn't necessarily look like an information operation as we think of them in the West.
I think that it is just a different way of putting out that message, right? And so perhaps in times past it would have just been a radio report,
right?
And so it's really bolstering what you probably would have done anyway, like, so I guess the bridge example. Nowadays you would probably like TV footage. In the old days, you would have got radio reports or newspaper. And so this is kind of adding an extra element to what you would do anyway.
Which is
more impactful, but it's also a bit more work.
Right. So I think one of the ways that this doesn't fit with those pre-existing sort of buckets that people want to put cyber in, you know, it's cyber is a force of state power, and it has to be used in like these ways. And then, or, you know, cyber is whatever, sorts of all these different sort of crazy ideas. And it's very practical and pragmatic. And I don't know if it's something you would arrive at if you were going backwards.
Right.
You know, if you were like, okay, so, or I guess maybe if you're going forwards, I'm not sure. But, you know, when you're sitting there and you're like, okay, what is the thing that you could do with cyber? Well, you could attack the electrical grid.
Right. Yeah.
And then you'd sort of go like, but oh my God, that would be terrible. Without electricity, you know, I wouldn't be able to listen to Between Two Nerds. So, you know, there's these obvious, you know, major life concerns that you would have with something like that. But you wouldn't necessarily think of, what if they hack CCTV and release videos of other things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cyber Pearl Harbor thing is interesting because people get critical infrastructure is important. And so it's sort of like a self-defeating prophecy in a way, that everyone mm-hmm. understands it, so therefore we actually think about it and actually do something about it. So I guess from a Ukrainian point of view, yes, we have actually had our electricity interrupted. This is a serious threat. Let's do something about it. Whereas CCTV cameras, it's like, is there a critical CCTV camera somewhere? Well, maybe there is, and then you probably air gap it, right?
Right. But, you know, what if it's not yours and it belongs to, like, the Costa Coffee knockoff at, Grand Central?
And then there's no way to say, what's the critical CCTV camera we want to stop someone from recording when they explode or blow up something? Like, I mean, you just can't plan for that.
Right, right. So I find that very interesting how there's this creative aspect to hacking, which I think is sort of not, it's not captured by the pundits. Like, we have to worry about our cybersecurity going forward, where there's 50,000 jobs unfilled right. because we've got a shortage of blah, blah, blah. And, like, those people aren't thinking about CCTV hacking, right? that's not a thing that comes up. They don't.
Especially when it's not hacking by using Showdown.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Going from the, I want to create a big splash around military success, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, this is an obvious thing to do if you can, right? It's an obvious right. add-on operation. But if you're thinking from the point of view of, what are we going to use our cybers for?
Right,
I don't
right.
know that it's obvious at all, because right. you have to have some other operation in place in the first place, right?
Right.
Yeah. yeah, what are we going to use cyber for? Let's assume a big explosion. then it kind of makes sense. How can we maximize the impact of that?
So I think part of the interesting thing here is that it's this hacker approach of where you take a practical problem, you find a solution. You don't start out with the solution and go, all right, where's a problem I can fix with this thing?
Right.
You encounter problems and you find solutions. And I think if you're looking at, you know, blowing up a bridge, and how could we exploit it to the maximum? Well, we could get an agent and put a dash cam on his car and tell him, you know, park on the curb, but definitely not on, you know, span 29, because you do not want to be there, right? You could do that, or you could take the existing camera infrastructure and just leverage that instead, right? Sort of piggyback, parasite, on existing stuff. And it's, given the constraints of the real world, hacking is this approach of, like, finding solutions with what you can actually do. And I know that's a thing that they do at agencies as well. I feel it's a hacker skill that, you know, the spy services happen to have picked up a little bit before computers existed.
Yeah, in a way, that's a problem with the movie conception of hacking, in that mostly the constraints don't exist. And so I guess it cheapens, in a way, what you can do.
Right.
Both cheapens it and makes it ridiculous, exaggerates it.
It's very much the hackers are wizards because they can do anything. And so once you've done that, you basically create a world that has physics, but also magic.
Right.
And it's sort of very hard to be interesting at that point, because magic is like, it's literally Deus Ex Machine. right. You know, like, what do we do? Oh, we hack it. Like, we cyber the door open.
Mission Impossible style.
right. But, you know, I think the reality is sort of so much more interesting, simply because the adversity and the challenges and all that are defeated long before you get to the actual execution. Right? Like, by the time you actually do it, you've already scripted everything out so that it just works. It's all the months beforehand when it was broken and hard and difficult. And then by the end, you know.
What this reminds me of a little bit is an Iranian group I wrote about a while ago, several months, mm-hmm. and they were using information operations to try and, I guess, embiggen their actual hacks. And so it was unclear whether they were trying to convince, like, their own side that they were doing better or just make their hacks appear more impressive. I can't remember the exact detail, but whereas when you've mm-hmm. got video evidence of some other sort of style of event, it becomes quite compelling. Or I guess even in the Evan prison example, But that's a very sophisticated operation to get it to that level.
So I think one of the things I would sort of add here is a little bit of a compare and contrast in how these different threat actors use CCTV and sort of the level of goal that you can achieve, right? So if you're like a civilian volunteer hacktivist, you can make a video of playing the Ukrainian national anthem out of, you know, 8 coffee shop IPTV cameras. That's an achievable goal. What it accomplishes, well, that's debatable, I guess, but it's a thing that's within the realm of capability of, you know, private individual actors. But when you get to like the state level, right, and you're looking at the prison where you've got, not only are you taking over the monitors, but you're recording that. And on the one hand, there's the technical capability required, but then also the operational planning capability to make sure that all the things are in place at the right times,
yeah,
so that you can, you know, put everything together, and then having it sort of edited and sort of knowing what you're trying to accomplish beforehand. Like, you can't just sort of wing it and then, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we captured some of the CCTV of what's going on right now?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't do it like that. Same with the steel plant, right? So on the one hand, you can go, okay, let's get to the point where not only do we have access, but we understand how these systems work and how to abuse them within the parameters, but to break them using their accepted operational parameters, right? Like, what can we do to destroy this? But then also to record it, and then to have a message that you want to get out that you can then convey. Similarly, like the using the CCTV to do the strategic surveillance, right, of looking at sort of what aid is flowing in. Again, that's something that would require state-level capabilities, because you just need to ingest so much information that's very obscure and hard to understand, process it, and then generate something. And then what you generate is actually only useful for a state. On the one hand, it's like the technical capability to break into a CCTV camera and observe what's going on is, as we've said, like Shodan level, right? Like, it's not hacking. But it can be this like state level sophisticated operation, or it can be like this junior tier Sunday league hack. And it's still just breaking into a CCTV camera, right? Like, that hasn't really changed. So I sort of, on the one hand, I find that quite interesting as well. But it's not the technical part of the hack that makes the cyber interesting.
Right, yeah. It's the sort of sophistication and the way you put it together with other capabilities, I guess.
Right, right. It's sort of, it's not the size of the hack, it's how you use it.
I think it is interesting that it hasn't appeared as a topic beforehand. After the fact, I think it's easy to see why people would do this. I think beforehand, it's not necessarily
right
easy to say. Before the war in Ukraine, when it started, I was definitely not writing in the newsletter, and one day they'll blow up a bridge and someone will hack a CCTV camera to that to amplify the... That was not on
A Skylink and a webcam on a modified jet ski will be captured by a hacked CCTV camera blowing up a bridge.
Yeah, yeah. That was not on my bingo card for the war. So, freely admit that I wasn't expecting that. It's...
Right.
Easy to see afterwards.
Like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's blindingly obvious, right? I mean, why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, let me just recap. So we've got this example of how people really actually use cyber operations, and it's not in a way that we necessarily expected beforehand. It's aiming for a totally different kind of impact. So it's not, I would call it a battlefield impact, but it's, you know, it's got propaganda value, or it's got publicity value, or it's changing hearts and minds.
That influence seems to be, stuff, yeah.
Yeah, influence, yeah. It seems to be a common use of CCTV access. And it both kind of totally makes sense in retrospect, but I think it was very hard to predict that this would be a thing beforehand.
Right.
So does this tell us anything broader about, I mean, I think one message is that just the way things get used is unpredictable.
Absolutely. So I was going to say there's a systems lesson in here, but I guess it's easy to think of CCTV and imagine the surveillance capabilities from hacking, like being able to see that. But
well, that's what CCTV is for in the first place, right? So you're just changing the...
Yeah, you change the audience. But yeah. So I think you can project forward surveillance from CCTV, but I don't think that you would predict the CCTV cinematic universe.
Thanks a lot, Grok.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Talk to you next week.